Let's share a while, shall we, in the scriptures, beloved?
Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in the experience of the things that the Lord Jesus spoke about? What the scriptures say. I was just thinking when we were breaking that bread and drinking that wine, wouldn't it be a horrible thing if all we felt was an obligation, a duty to come together and keep this thing right in the church? Wouldn't it be horrible if we all sat there all cold and said, well, we've done it, you know. And it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. That would indeed be terrible. Wonder if really deeply down inside you actually commune, just didn't take the communion, but you really commune. Really commune. Say, well, it's a little funny, we just come and we take the communion, or by any name you want to call it. It has a variety of names. But oh, beloved, to be there where we really commune, there was an impartation, a giving, and a receiving. Was that so? You just only receive the bread and receive the wine? Or was there a communing? No. Twice, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he took this word up. In the last verse of his second epistle to the Corinthians, this is what we read. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen. So, apparently the communion is with you. You didn't just take it, it was with you. And what you did was give it. Is that right? You commune. You can't commune without giving, any more than you can commune without receiving. Is that right? Yes, that's right. And if we look into the first letter that Paul wrote to the same people in the 10th chapter, he says in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? What a glorious thing this is, beloved, to be in this place. We sang a little earlier, and we sang it with great joy, I'm sure, at that hymn, "It's finished, the Messiah dies," and all the wonderful things in the way that Wesley has of doing it, put together, you know, the evil curse is gone, types and figures are fulfilled, the bar to heaven's removed. He's so logical and so glorious as he unfolds this tremendous thing about the cross. And we sang that verse which our brother requested, verse 3, what was it? That the middle wall is broken down and all mankind may enter in. Do you feel the middle wall is broken down? Do you feel that the middle wall is broken down? Let's have a glance at that, shall we? In the Ephesian letter, in the second chapter, where we're told about that. We're told this, that we were in verse 12, going on from verse 11, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Is that right? That's right. See, in this epistle, Paul is primarily drawing our attention to the terrible division that there was between the Gentile and the Jew through all sorts of things. But now, beloved, this thing has a far greater meaning to us, in that it's not just that in an historic act about 2,000 years ago the Lord did something which broke down the division between Jew and Gentile, but the glorious truth is that he's broken down all the barriers and walls and partitions that there are between us as individuals. It's not merely a national thing, it's a great and personal thing with us all. That's a marvelous thing, to know that the wall is broken down so that we can go in. But though that's good, there's something more than that. There's something far, far greater than that. And that's why, when you read this Ephesian letter, God uses such an abundance of variety of figures, because he takes up this figure of the temple and the middle wall of partition that was always there to divide the court of the Gentiles from the inner places where the Jews could go. That's not good enough to... not good enough to bring out all that God wants to say. So he passes on, and if you remember in the fourth chapter, he leaves the figure of a temple and brings, at least of an outward building of a temple, and then brings it into a higher figure, a temple of the body. And he says, we are members of the body. You can't possibly think of brick walls being built up in bodies. There aren't any walls in bodies. Bodies just have to be one, and that's that. There are no divisions there. Glory be to the name of the Lord. There are partitions, of course. We have things called stomachs, and then we have lungs, and we have hearts, and we have all sorts of things, and they are sort of complete in themselves. But they have to function as one. And the Lord wants us to see, beloved, that there's far more than just saying, oh, well, the walls are down, and we can all go in. Communion is not an ability, an openness, you can go in if you want because the walls are down. Communion is a complete necessity. An absolute necessity. You and I would just confess that. You took this bread and you broke off your piece. And you were saying, I simply got to have this. That's just in the outward symbolism. But oh, what a glorious thing it is. I felt as I sat here this morning, well, you know, most of us at the best only sort of look at one another once in 2 months as we come together. And I think it must be 4 or 6 since I was here. I've even had dear Norman last time. And there it is. And yet here we are this morning. And I felt and sensed this wondrous, homely loveliness of communing. Really communing. We have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the love of God. But these two must be supplemented by the communion of the Spirit. Amen. Communion of the Spirit that makes the other two so wonderfully real. Isn't it a precious thing that with all the love of God, wherewith he gave his Son, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and with all the grace of Christ that he should come and just take the sinner's place and take all the sin of the world, open his very heart and veins and pour out his soul unto death. Such grace gratuitously paid the price, took our place, bore our sin, suffered our punishment, all unknown to us. The price was paid before ever your mother and father knew one another and came together and you were born. It was all done, the grace of it, that God was going to surprise us with this marvelous grace, anticipated our coming into the world, anticipated our need. Hallelujah! Before we were born, before we'd ever known sin, before we ever done anything, it swamps our imagination. It's vast, it's tremendous. This grace flows from the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. All being useless without the communion of the Spirit. If it couldn't be communicated to us by the Spirit, if it couldn't be brought into us by communion, hallelujah, that God communes with me, I commune with God through the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a precious thing it is. A glorious Holy Ghost has come to fill everything with the knowledge, the wonder, the love of God, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. There isn't a void, there isn't a gap between here and 2,000 years ago. The Holy Ghost has come to fill the gap, if you like. He's come to bring us into that this morning we've commemorated the sting, the pain, the anguish, the instantaneous shattering of all things on that cross, the doing away with sin, the breaking of the power of Satan, the complete wondrous power to cleanse us from all sin. It's all here by the Spirit. It's all here. Did you commune in it? So that the bread you broke was the communion of that body. Hallelujah. And the blood you drank, the cup, the wine you drank, was the communion of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, this is a tremendous thing, isn't it? Did you get that sense? Did you commune? I hope it wasn't something you just did. I hope you gave. Had you the ability? That's the communion of the Holy Spirit. Did you receive? What did you receive? Did you give? What did you give? Did love flow out of you? Did it? You will know in the first instance when this was done on this earth, when the Lord gathered his people together in that upper room. I've been thinking a bit about this lately. In fact, I was talking on this line, I think, last Sunday morning. But this tremendous thing that the Lord said, and I do hope that you gather the sense of intimacy I sat down just for a while this morning before I came out. But I did yesterday afternoon before I set out to come and join with you. Yes. I felt it was a great day of love and blessing and ministry yesterday. And I read the scriptures, and I read them as though Jesus was sitting in a chair there and speaking them to me. That's how I read the scriptures. I don't know how you read them. I don't know whether you sort of scramble up and read your portion 5 minutes in the morning, something like that. But that's that. Not that you can't have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus then, but when I read the scripture this morning, I was sitting in a chair here, and there's a cherub there, and I read them, and so Jesus was speaking these words to me in the room, intimately. I hope you read the Bible like that. I hope you read the scriptures for this, not just to gain knowledge, but I hope you read the scriptures for communion. That's the basic reason for reading the Bible. If you read the Bible for any other knowledge, you'll, for any other reason, you'll soon get tired of it. Doesn't matter how doughty a warrior you may be. Communion. That's why you read. The Bible is a book of loving communion to you. All right. And there you are, you're in the upper room. He's here, and he's talking to us, talking to you individually. And you know how that he went from 13, 14, and into the 15th chapter of John, as we know it in our versions. And he says, these wonderful words, let's take them right into our hearts. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me. Now listen to him. He's talking to you. John 15, 9. As the Father hath loved you, me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is my commandment, 12. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is communion. This is real communion. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And here we are, beloved, and we're in this place of communing one with another. He says this, my Father loves me, I love you. Continue in my love. You see, this was a continuing thing. What Jesus had from the Father, he continued to you, loved you. He loves you, and you continue his love, and love someone else. That's right. You're to love other people as I've loved you. Hope you did that this morning. I hope that beyond the barrier going down between you and someone else sitting beside you or in front of you, you commune with them. It's useless, it's not. You can't sit in a meeting called a communion or breaking of bread, an isolated unit. You've denied the thing you've done. Keep on, and it's hypocrisy. It isn't that the barriers are down between you and someone else. It isn't, oh, well, I can come if I want. It's that, ooh, it's going over the barriers. It's coming from heaven to earth. It's, if you like, but it's flowing out and a loving and an imparting. It doesn't require words. That's why, as we do it, usually there's a great silence. don't know why this ought to be. Sometimes there should be great shouts of joy and glory, I feel. Because it isn't a taxing of the memory to try and recall or conjure up in your mind how he must have felt when he hung on the cross for you. It isn't that. It's a towering up in glory because of the present experience of everything broken down, everything gone, everything carried away, sin dealt with, self really now on the cross, finished with, that old self, because that's where he broke down that little wall of partition, in himself, on the cross, hanging there. He only made people one in one body on the tree. That's where he did it. And then if you don't come in there, you can't be one. If self does stick out a mile, if self is all this, that, or the other, you haven't really come into this. For all his body concentrated on one thing, out shedding the blood, outpouring love. That's what his body was for. But everything else should be gone. I love it. You've got to lay down your life for your friend there sitting beside you. That's what you've got to do. You've got to let your sort of self and personality and what you are and what you've been through, you've got to lay that down. See, as I have loved you, you're to love one another. That's what you're to do. It's something that continues me in my love. And I know this, that I can't continue in his love unless I continue loving. I've got to continue it. That's what I've got to do. Amen. We break the bread, the communion of the body. Hallelujah. Isn't the concentration on something that took place 2,000 years ago? It's a communication of the love of the Lord among us today. That's what it is. Their love, their thing, in all propriety, if when you really did taste the bread, you could turn around and say, and there was love in you, and people knew it and felt it. You don't come to try and concentrate on God as a single unit and I wish that child would keep quiet now. I wish that person wouldn't cough. Just coughed at the wrong moment. Something like that. When I'm trying to concentrate on you see, you're in yourself. Poor you. Down with everything else. Say, oh, hallelujah. Now we're there. Of course, that isn't to say that mothers and fathers let children make pandemonium, and I'm not talking about that. But the whole glorious thing of coming out of our poor isolation and entering into real communion, one with another, the communion of the Holy Ghost, in and through your life. That's what it is. Continuing. You know, beloved, you can't do that on a Sunday morning. You can't sort of work that up in about half an hour's hymn singing and nice praying and prophesying and then do it. You see, you can't do that. It's a union in the communion of the Spirit every moment of the day as we live with the Lord through the week. And we come together, and we're not coming all sort of stuck out like a sore thumb. And well, you know, I've had a rough week. Well, the roughest week the Lord Jesus had was the week before he was crucified. And that's when he laid down his life. That's the roughest week he had. Just think of it. That prepared him all the better for the cross. Now, didn't it? So don't go bleating, oh, what a hard week I've had. You're saying I'm a humbug. That's what you're really saying, if anybody really knows the truth. But what you're trying to get is sympathy and an excuse for your bad behavior and attitude. The worse it got for Jesus, the better he was. That's right, isn't it? He achieved his heights in the worst possible conditions. You got to. We come together to commune, and there is no greater communion. It was in that moment, the crowning point of his suffering, of his humiliation, and everything else. That's when he did it. He gathered it all up into himself. Hallelujah. Surely, beloved, things have got all topsy-turvy. God wants us to be here where the community really flowing. What did you impart to that person beside you? Stony silence. Giving a pious impression of trying to concentrate on communing. You haven't got the idea of what communing is if you're trying to do that. You're a mile away. If not 10,000 miles away. All the barriers of the dark. And in Christ, I'm imparting the virtues and the goodness of Christ to you. I'm communing. What can I receive from you, pray? I need it. What can I have? What are you giving me? What are you giving me? Jesus gathered them all round and said, as my Father loved me, that's how I've loved you. And they thought it was wonderful. That was the communion of his body through him from Father. And he said, now you just continue in my love, you. Just do that. You may not be able to impart brilliant thoughts. That's not the important thing. You may not have any particular this, that, or the other. But to be able to really love, and I can feel that you love me. That's excellent. You've done all. Now, this is why the Lord put this in our midst. We break the bread, we drink the wine. Symbols. They should say to me, O Lord, thank you. I can pour out like this. I can break like this. I can give like this. That's what they should say to me. I'm a member of that body. It's inherent in me. It's part of my makeup. All the body contributed to redemption. He poured out the blood of his life. What a glorious thing this is, beloved. We can come and love one another. And the Lord can show us from that one great redemptive act, that only salvation, something we can come along in our measure. We can begin to learn the things of the basic principles in which we've been caught up by the Holy Spirit and learn what it's all about. Come out of side issues and come out of littlenesses and let the Blessed Spirit take us in by communion into that God's done, and then to spread it here amongst one another. Little children, let us love one another. Love is of God. Don't be frigid. Don't be cold. Don't keep your distance. Don't do that. You can't commune if you do it. You can't. You may have very dear thoughts about the Lord. Let it show in your attitude. Let it pour out in self-giving. Let it be ministered among us all. Let it all be given. Let nothing be kept. Let the body be broken. Let the blood pour out. Let the bread be eaten. Let the wine be drunk. Let it all be there. That's what he's doing. Amen. Now this I will promise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know you probably come from different groups, and these, I say, are only bi-monthly occasions held here. But wherever you go and wherever you are, if you and your group, church, or what you call yourself, will do this, you'll grow, you'll develop, you'll become strong. God will make his revelations to you, the things that are in your lips when you pray, Lord, we want more, Lord, we want to know, open us up, Lord, teach us this, it'll all come. But it can only come from this basis. That is all. Because in the end, your mind won't intelligently work it out, so you may be able to explain it to yourself afterwards. But in the end, you know that this is the only reality, and that is the only ground upon which you can move. You'll know that. See, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You're my friend. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Your friends are all sitting round you. You lay down your life for them. No man has greater love than this. No one. Amen. Not just a supreme sacrifice, except that when we come together, we're in the supreme sacrifice. We are of that body. We are of that blood. We are of that redemption. We are that redemption in fullest expression. What the redemption was all about. What the what, why the Lord did it. Lord is seen in that day, gathered there, there the redeemed. Not the act of redemption, but the state and result of redemption. That's right. Not the act of painting, Mr. Artist, but the result of your painting. A gorgeous canvas. That's right. Hallelujah. Same with the Lord. It's us. We remember the glorious act. We praise him for terrible Calvary. But oh, what a wonderful thing when it's in us, working in us. Did you feel the communion this morning? I know you must have done. It was here because I could feel. I knew the communion was going on. Did you? It culminated in the breaking of the bread and drinking wine, but it was here before that. Do you know? The commemorative act took but a moment. It symbolized, crystallized everything. Should do. Not that we worship it. Here we are in love. Is that right? Well, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Keep on until you're an expert at it, if I may use that word. Keep right on until you can commune. Oh, really commune. So that when you meet, it's going on. Hallelujah. Praise God. All the time. So you don't want to say, oh, well, the middle wall has been broken down between me and Sister so-and-so. You bet. Glorious communion. Let's pray.